Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
Hey, Fidelity. How can I remember to invest every month?
With the Fidelity app, you can choose a schedule and set up recurring investments in stocks and ETFs.
Oh, that sounds easier than I thought.
You got this.
Yeah, I do. Now, where did I put my keys?
You will find them where you left them.
Investing involves risk, including risk of loss. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Hello?
Hey, Lyle. Good to talk to you. This is Dan.
Dan, how's it going, man?
Yeah, it's going all right. I called in to talk to you about something specific, you know, man. I've got an estranged sister who I haven't spoken to for about 7 years, man. And I used to follow her social media just to make sure, you know, she's healthy and alive, and she posts pictures with her friends and stuff. And, you know, she went dark about 6 months ago. And, you know, since we haven't spoken to each other for 7 years, we've only texted. I mean, I don't know what she's doing. She doesn't even give her address out to anybody. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself, but she moved across the country to L.A. to become a musician/actor 7 years ago when she was 18. And, you know, that's why I haven't spoken to her. She just doesn't talk to her family anymore. And anyway, she went dark on social media, and I'm thinking about trying to find her, just to make sure she's alive still.
When is the last time that you talked to her?
On voice, or do text messages count?
Yeah, text messages. Text. I would say text count.
All right, yeah, so text, 2019, we spoke around my birthday on text messages, just, you know, she said she was doing well. She was a substitute teaching at a school, which is kind of weird for somebody who doesn't really have any education background. Yeah, she was doing all right otherwise. And, you know, at that time, she had trouble making rent, so... I sent her $3,000 to hold her over.
Really? You sent her money?
Yeah. We grew up poor, so I was our mother died when I was 14 and she was 10, and I took that and studied computer security, got into hacking, went to work for a tech firm after college, and so I could afford to help her out. You know, like that.
So the last time we talked to her was in 2019. You gave her some money, and then it's been about 3 years, and you were sort of following her on social media up until about, you said, 6 months ago she just stopped posting.
Yep, completely. No likes on her Twitter, no tags on her Instagram, nothing.
So she moved to LA when she was 18, and then as of 2019, where was she at?
She was, yeah, so I sent a check to a P.O. box in LA.
Okay, so we think she's still in LA?
I still think she's in LA. I think so.
And tell me about the rest of your family. Do you have any other siblings?
No other siblings. My mom was a single mom. She died. We went to live with our grandmother. Our grandmother raised us. Part of the reason maybe I don't talk to her is she lived off my grandma's credit card for about her first 3 years in LA. And grandma got into $100K of debt on her credit card and had to take out a mortgage to pay it off.
I don't blame my sister. $100K of debt. Your sister used your grandmother's card for $100,000 in 3 months?
3 years. Sorry.
Oh, 3 years. Okay. still. And your grandma had no idea.
My grandma's just too nice. She wouldn't say no to her, right? And my sister, I think, is just too dumb. Or not dumb, but she doesn't... I don't think she ever knew the value of money. Because grandma would just pay for whatever. I don't really blame her for it, but yeah.
These 7 years, how much contact have you had with her throughout them?
Just text messages, maybe once a year. And usually it would be me sending something like a happy birthday, and then she sent something back a few weeks later, and then, that's about it. And just that kind of communication.
Okay. So sort of once a year on her birthday, you're keeping tabs with her on social media, and throughout these whole 7 years, she's posting on social media, right?
Yeah, she's posting pictures with friends. She was in a music video for a pretty famous rapper. Okay. Yeah.
All right, so you're keeping tabs on her still. You're seeing what she's been up to.
Yeah, just to make sure she's like okay. She's not like bad stuff can happen if you move to LA as an 18-year-old girl with no life experience. So, I'm just keeping an eye out.
And when you guys were growing up, what was your relationship like?
Pretty distant. I was kind of absorbed in the computer. I was really into computer hacking, and I didn't really socially interact with anybody, even my own sister, other than like the casual, we'd go to family events together, and that's about it. But we weren't really super close friends or anything, other than the shared trauma. So
mm-hmm. When you say shared trauma, what is it that you're referring to?
Yeah, I mean, our mom died when we were kids, so she took that really hard, and she went to a lot of therapy. She got diagnosed with bipolar disorder, she tried to kill herself once. So she kind of had some poor mental health the whole time.
So I know you sent her $3,000 and you text her happy birthday, but when's the last time you really got into it with her on whether it was on the phone or in person or even in text?
Yeah. In text, definitely before 2019, I think 2018 or 2017, I put it straight with her on, when we cut off grandma's credit card, I put it straight with her. I told her grandma can't afford this. She actually had to take out a mortgage to pay off her debt. And, you have to get like a job to cover your expenses. It was hard to be angry. I mean, she kind of understood. She just apologized for it. And, I mean, it wasn't like it was an argument. It was like, oh shit, I've been fucking up grandma's credit, and my bad. I really didn't mean to do that. So that was like when we really got into it about, what she was doing at the time.
And when's the last time you saw her in person, face to face?
7 years ago, the day she moved out to LA, I drove back to her house from college and, said goodbye to her. She took a car. She actually moved with a friend from high school, this girlfriend of hers. And, they were going to make it in LA as musicians and models. So.
Okay. So she went dark on social media 3 months ago. You haven't interacted with her since 2019. And it says here you're thinking about hiring a private investigator to go find her.
Yeah, right. So, I mean, I got money now. I reached out to her still. Happy birthday every year. But she hasn't responded. And now her social media is dark. So I'm thinking of just hiring a PI, like find where she's at, who she's living with. Does she have a job? I mean, does she have a drug problem? I don't think she would ever tell me if she has a drug problem.
So what is it that is making you decide now that you want to start putting in a lot of effort to go find her?
I turned 30. So I feel bad that I kind of haven't spoken to her. There's not any real reason that I don't speak to her. So like maybe I could go visit and say hi. I mean, she's one of the very few blood relatives I have. So I feel a need to connect.
Right. I was going to say, so your mother died when you guys were young. What's your father up to?
Yeah, my father is kind of a beach bum in Florida, and he's just out of the picture completely. He's aging gracefully on the beach in Florida, doing odd jobs around there, and he was out of the picture very early when we were young, because they got a divorce, and so my mom became a single mom when I was like 6 years old. So he's mostly just out of the picture completely.
And do you have a wife and kids in your own family?
Yeah. So I got married to somebody I met in college, and I don't have any kids yet, but we're going to buy a house and have kids. That's the idea. On the Northwest coast.
What does your wife think about this whole situation?
She supports it. She thinks we should try to save her if she's in a bad spot, like maybe have her come live here. Minimum wage is really high in Washington, and she could get on her feet and, live off our couch, go to community college or something, maybe. She supports me. She thinks I should help her get on her feet if she's not.
That's good that your wife is supportive of you wanting to do that, because I could see that, if she weren't supportive, I could see it being some sort of a conflict. Like, was she cool with you giving her the $3,000?
Yeah. We talked about it for a while, and we weren't even sure it could be for rent. Like, if it's for drugs, that's really bad. That would buy her a lot of drugs. But, we had no way to confirm. And my wife was cool with it. $3,000 isn't a big deal to us because just our circumstances now. So,
I find it interesting that even with that whole thing of her running up your grandma's credit card for $100,000... and not knowing sort of what her deal is, if she's addicted to drugs or sort of whatever it is going on with her, I am impressed that you still have this connection to her and this desire to help her, even though things seem like they've gotten very distant.
It's really hard to tell if she's like a manipulator or not. And I want to believe she's not, right? You want to assume the good in everybody, and that she's just a unfortunate circumstances. She didn't know what she was doing, and
And with this private eye, what is sort of the first step of trying to find her? Are you going to provide this PI with her Instagram photos, or I guess maybe they'll Google her name and try to find where she lives? Do you have any idea what that process is like?
Yeah, so I have a dossier I've kind of kept on her because, I'm a computer hacker, man. Sure. Finding people is kind of part of what I do, too. And so I've got her P.O. box. I've got all of her friends that she's spoken to on Instagram, like kind of timelined out. Okay, this is sounding really creepy, man. But I would just scroll through her Instagram, collect the different friends she communicates with and who comment on her posts, and kind of have their names tagged to these identities. And so I've got all of these in the doc, and I've got her P.O. box. I don't have her real address. I'm gonna send all this to a PI agency. I talked to one on the phone, and they're like, okay, well, first step is finding her, right? They're gonna find her current address and where she's at. I'm not sure how they're gonna do that. Maybe they can look at county records and stuff, but if I give them all this info, the friends she talks to, that I could find at least, maybe they can make it happen. and that's the hope. And they said it would be about $1,000 to get this initial like just finding where she is.
So I am curious about a couple things. I want to talk to you about how you feel like you'll react in a couple different scenarios, right? Like, let's say you hire this private investigator, they find her, you put all this effort, not even just the financial stuff, because the financials seem like they don't matter to you, but you're putting in a lot of like thought and like emotional energy into finding her, thinking about her, speculating about whether or not she's safe. What happens? How do you think you will react if you find her and she just doesn't want anything to do with you because she's, whatever her reason is, maybe she is addicted to drugs or she doesn't want to get better, or maybe she has her own life that's happy, or whatever it is, whatever her reason is, what happens if you find her and she doesn't want anything to do with you? How do you think you would react to that?
I would be ecstatic, especially if her life's going good. I it's okay if she doesn't want anything to do with me, you know, but I would be happy that, well, if she's going through some trouble and she doesn't want anything to do with me, I'm not, you know, if she's in a bad place, I think the way I would react is I might fly down, to see her face to face, you know, to at least see emotionally how she is. It would be a bit different if we talk on the phone or something, and she says she wants nothing to do with me. I might respect her depending on what she says on the phone. I would respect her. Opinion.
Right. I guess it sounds like what you're trying to say is like, if she was like, hey, my life is going great, don't worry about me, then you wouldn't fly down there. But if you heard her say, like, if she was kind of coming at it and you sort of suspected maybe like it does have drug problems and she knows that you want to try to send her to rehab, and so that's why she's avoiding you. If I mean, this is all in a hypothetical, but if that were the case, would you fly down there and be like, okay, maybe I'll get through to you if we're face to face?
Yeah, that's my thought. Like, maybe we can at least reconnect, you know. We're the only family each other has, really. So yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you said your dad's a beach bum. Before we go, I want to hear sort of the perspectives of the family members. You said your dad is a beach bum. Does he have any care or any sort of desire in the same way that you do to reconnect with your sister?
Yeah, he's always been sad that she doesn't talk to him. I don't even talk to him because he's so just kind of out there. He made some really bad life choices. I mean, I talked to him on his birthday, happy birthday, but I'm not gonna fly down to see him all the time on the beach and this kind of like state he's in. He's just kind of a negative person. So
sure.
Being around him, it's very negative, always negative. So, you know, I try to avoid that as much as I can.
Is there anyone else in your family, like a fucking cousin, your grandparents you've been mentioning, anyone else who's like sort of in this with you, or are you kind of just doing this all alone?
Yeah, my grandmother and my uncle, my grandmother's son, he knows of her. But he kind of had a falling out with my sister because she had some mental issues, and she said some shit when she was visiting my uncle about how she's going to go crazy because my uncle has the perfect family and she can't stand it. Anyway, my uncle would also like to know that she's okay, she definitely doesn't want to talk to my uncle.
What happened with her and your uncle?
Well, I don't want to get too long into it. It's not that interesting. It's just she was visiting with this. She had like this mental breakdown about how my uncle has like a perfect family, and then she had to leave early. She took a flight back early because she couldn't cope with my uncle and how nice their family situation is.
Sure, a little bit of jealousy.
Yeah.
Well, it's interesting to hear that. I don't know how long ago this was, but it's interesting to hear that because you can kind of tell from that she's jealous of your uncle having, quote, a perfect family. I don't know what your uncle's family is like, but you can kind of tell that, like, from that, the family is important to her. So, you know, I think it's a cool thing you're doing because I guess neither of us really have any idea what her thoughts and feelings are about her family, about you, about, you know, sort of her relationship to back home, but she could be kind of waiting for you possibly to find her. And it could turn out that when you do find her, it'll mean a lot that you're back in her life. And it's very compelling to me to see you putting in all this effort, not knowing how she feels about you, not knowing if when you go to see her, if she'll want to see you, and then answering to me when I asked you how you would feel about that, going, I would be ecstatic just to know that she's, you know, safe and doing well. So this is a very much a display in my eyes of unconditional love and caring. And, you know, I respect it, man. I wish you good luck on your journey. Please call back in if
you don't think
you find
creepy?
Anything. We'd love to hear.
You don't think it's too creepy, man?
Do I think it's creepy? Could be creepy. I have no idea. I'm just a people on the internet.
Thanks, Gecko. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
Of course. You as well.
You too. Bye.
That was Dan. Let's see. Is it creepy to stalk your sister to see? Well, look. Intention is important, I think, when you're judging people's actions. A lot of people don't agree with me. A lot of people don't think intention is important, but I think intention is important. And his intention is just to make sure that she is safe. And it was interesting when he mentioned the uncle thing, that she was jealous of the fact that he had a perfect family. Like, you can kind of ascertain by that she, you know, family is important to her. I'm thinking about my own sister. I'm thinking about if she dropped off the face of the earth for 5 years, you know, would I do the same? Would I compile a dossier and stalk her with a private eye? And if I did, would that be creepy, or would that come from a place of, this is my sister, she's the only family I have, and I love her? I don't know. I don't know if I'm the judge to say whether or not it's creepy, but I hope he finds her, and I hope that they have a good reconnection. Hope that she's doing well. And I thank you to Dan for sharing that story with us. It is interesting that at the very end of that call is when he kind of out of left field said, is it creepy? Which means to him, and I understand why, because if you're compiling a dossier and, you know, it, look, if you're scrolling through some girl's Instagram pictures and compiling them into a dossier, doesn't matter if she's your sister. A part of your brain is going, is this creepy? So I understand why he maybe has that inkling in his mind. But again, I think his intentions are pure. He wants to make sure that, you know, she's safe. Especially when he was describing all of those, like, mental health issues that she had and potential drug problems and whatnot, that he just wants to make sure she's safe. So, I think it's coming from a good place.
Hey folks, this episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. And if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. BetterHelp is a convenient, flexible, affordable, and entirely online option for therapy. With video, voice, and texting chat options with a licensed therapist that can be done completely at your own pace and on your own schedule. You don't need to leave your house. You don't need to sit in traffic. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with one of several therapists on the platform. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge until you find one that works for you, and you can communicate with your therapist as often as you want and whenever you feel it's needed. It's never a bad idea to find someone qualified to talk to about your issues and get some guidance on them. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/gecko today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/gecko.
Hello?
Hello, Lyle?
Hey, is this Rome?
It is. How's it going?
How's it going? It's going decently. How is it going with you?
Not too bad. I had a story for you.
A story? Give me the, like the short version of it for it. Actually, let's do the short version. What's the short version?
So basically, I used to be a new model at my college, and when I changed one day and put my clothes back on after I was done with all that stuff, I was walking to my car, and when I sat down in my car, I noticed there was poop in my pants. But I didn't have any, like, thing really notifying that I was like, oh, but I need to go to the bathroom. There was just, like, suddenly, it's like someone else pooped my pants.
Somebody else pooped in your pants.
Yeah. And
where were you keeping your clothes while you were nude modeling?
It was like a storage closet that pretty much, it was like everyone had access to it. So it could have been anyone. It could have been like the teacher or the TA or one of the students. Mm-hmm.
And you are 100% sure that somebody else pooped in your pants?
It was literally, it was almost like it showed up like extra dimensionally. Like, I didn't feel it at all when I was walking in my car, but as soon as I sat down, it just was completely wet down there. It was all bad. What was even worse was I had to clean it up. So pretty much, instead of like having to walk all the way back, I was like, maybe I have some wipes in my car, but I only had alcohol wipes. And I don't know if you know this, but that shit really burns.
You had alcohol wipes, and you...
Yeah, they're like for a car. They're like for cleaning your car, yeah.
Oh, okay, and you used them on your asshole.
Yeah, and it burns a lot.
Now, what are your working theories on who might have pooped in your pants?
So, this happened like probably like 2 or 3 years ago, and I've been thinking about it ever since. But my theory is that it was most likely one of the students or the TA, because I was watching the teacher the whole time and he didn't move.
Okay, so
there were
one of the students,
a couple.
One of the TAs. There were a couple.
Yeah. There was a couple people who I thought were pretty suspicious looking that left like during the actual session. So it was, there's this one guy who he had like some kind of like facial problems. Like, I think he was like a burn victim and it kind of messed him up pretty bad. But I feel like he thought that I was uncomfortable with him because he couldn't see very well, so he had to get up like really, really, really close to my nude body, and it would make
anyone uncomfortable. So I feel like he possibly thought that I was uncomfortable with him. So in retaliation, he pooped my pants.
You think that this man... Okay, so this guy, he was sort of hard of sight. And so he had to get up closer to you to draw you. And he thought... You think that he thought that you thought that you were uncomfortable. And so in retaliation for you being uncomfortable with him staring at you, he pooped your pants?
Yeah, the messed up world.
Were there any animals loose in the studio by any chance? Are we 100% sure that it's human feces?
This was definitely human. It was very runny.
It was and runny?
There was a lot of it. I didn't see any animals.
But when you first went to put your pants back on, how did you not know that, there was poop in there? You didn't see it? You didn't feel it?
I didn't feel it or see it. I literally just put it all in there, and by the time that I had walked out of the building, crossing the whole parking lot, and sat down, that's when I noticed it.
How do you think this will affect your nude modeling career from now on? Are you going to keep a closer watch on your clothes when you take them off?
I definitely will. I thought about doing it again, but this has always kind of haunted me. I was afraid if I ever like started it up again that I'd literally just get pooped on again.
Yeah, this would definitely affect my decisions on where to place my clothes and how far to place them out of my sight in the future. And... So you really don't know who did it?
I really don't know. There's like a couple people who I'm suspicious of, but it happened so long ago I can't really do anything about it now. But I just, the story always comes up in my brain and I thought I'd share it.
Is there anything else you want to say to the people at the computer?
Definitely watch where you put your clothes. You'll never know when someone might poop in them.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you. Have a nice night.
I am not convinced that that guy did not poop his own pants and is in the most extreme amount of denial of all time. But who knows?
Hey folks, this episode is sponsored by Factor. Factor is a meal prep service that eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. I've been using Factor myself a ton this year to help me lose weight, and they make it easy by having the nutritional information of each meal listed right on the box, which is sometimes a bit harder to calculate when you're eating out. Every one of their meals comes to your door fresh, they're chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. You can choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. I just had their chicken tikka masala for dinner tonight. I had their pesto salmon last night, and they were both very, very good. Head to factormeals.com/gecko50 and use the code GECKO50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That's code GECKO50 at factormeals.com/GECKO50 for 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Hello, Raquel.
Oh, shit. Hey.
What's up?
I just got put in the queue. I was like, what?
How is life going, Raquel?
Life's going very well. I just left the grocery store and I'm heading home. I got some frijoles negros and ribeye and a lime.
Wonderful.
And a lime, yeah.
Raquel, what would you like to talk about today?
Well, I have a current boyfriend who really enjoys bukkake porn and a lot of weird stuff I've found in his like search history, and I don't know how to feel about it, basically.
Okay, well, let me ask you.
Originally, I was very
off the bat. off the... Actually, you know what? Go ahead. Yeah. I want to hear the rest of what you had to say, and then I'll attack you with my questions.
Well, originally, I was very disturbed. You know? Kind of confused. But, you know, I'm really trying to come to terms with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, so you found bukkake porn in his search history. Was there anything else that you found that you were disturbed by?
It was just a lot of spit and it's just very like gangbangs and just really gross stuff, man. Really gross stuff.
All right, Raquel, I gotta ask you. You got to come clean with me here. You got to be honest with me here. Why were you looking through your man's search history?
Okay. I found him jerking off in his car on his laptop, and he quickly, shut it and, put it away. And I was very suspicious. why he felt the... Well, I understand why he felt the need to do it in this car, because he probably knew that I would, you know, be uncomfortable with it. But it made me even more, curious. So.
Okay. So, do you guys live together?
Yes.
So, you guys live together. So, he went down to his garage to watch this type
of porn. No, just his car, outside in the parking lot.
Okay. So, he went into his car to jack off to this porn that he knew that you wouldn't want him to watch. And so you got on his laptop and looked at his search history.
Yes.
I mean, I'll give you my take right away. I don't think you should have looked at his search history. I don't think that's cool.
Okay.
You know, I think that if you're in a relationship with someone, whether you're your friend, your girlfriend, your boyfriend, whatever it is, it's not cool to look through their phone. It's not cool to look through their internet search history. You know, I think that was pretty, you know, I think you sound like you know it too. That was a violation of privacy. I don't think that was cool. But we're here. The evidence has been gathered anyway. Why are you so upset with the fact that he likes bukkake porn? Why is that a big issue for you?
It just feels like too much of it feels like it's offensive, towards women in a way. I feel like the way that he views women is kind of skewed. And it's just they're kind of crying and they're throwing up and actually, let me get deeper into this.
Let's do it.
So I had an ex. I had an ex who was a Buddhist monk. And I adopted a lot of beliefs, conservative beliefs in regards to porn and substances and having to kind of withhold yourself from those kinds of things. And at the beginning of my relationship with my ex, he was really into kind of weird porn. And when he stopped and withheld himself from those things, his mental health greatly improved. Our sex life got a lot better. And I just adopted a lot of, I guess, conservative spiritual beliefs because of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying not to project that onto my current boyfriend because I've come to understand that everyone, you know, finds their own.
Yeah, because, I mean, look, you bringing up your ex, right? You bringing up your ex right now is look, you're with this new guy now. You know, you were ex-boyfriend and now he's your ex-boyfriend. And now you're with this guy, you know? And so I don't think it's fair for your relationship for you to be bringing up your ex and sort of things that are going on with him and then recontextualizing that for your current relationship.
It's more like I just adopted a lot of, I guess, Buddhist beliefs, and I'm just trying to come to terms with his lack of them, I guess.
Well, let me ask you this. Have you talked to your boyfriend about all of this? What was that conversation like?
I mean, he doesn't like it either. He says he has a love-hate relationship with it. And he agrees that, you know, he does need to, you know, stop watching it as much. And he says it, like, messes his brain up. So.
Okay.
I mean, he probably still does it a lot. But, I mean, yeah, I stopped looking through his stuff. When the first time I looked through it, traumatized. I'm not doing that again. So.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, we've already established, and I think you know that you really shouldn't be looking through your significant other's phone and emails and search history and all that shit. It's good that you talked with him about it because, you know, he should be in on the conversation. So, why again are you bringing up your ex-boyfriend who's a monk?
Well, I mean, we had a... He left me with a lot of books, Buddhist books and texts before he left. And, I mean, I became Buddhist myself for a while. I kind of put that aside just because I realized it was kind of closed-minded. So, this whole journey kind of coming out of being more fluid in my beliefs. I guess this is just a hurdle, you know, in my path. Just trying to come to terms with. Yeah.
So you feel as though your boyfriend has exhibited behavior or thoughts or things along that realm that disagree with your Buddhist beliefs, and that's why you're bringing it up.
For sure.
Okay. How important are your Buddhist beliefs to you?
I think they're very important because I've learned a lot from them, but I realized that it kind of made me a more judgmental person.
Sure.
So, yeah, they were really important to me at a time, but I'm trying to kind of move out of that and become more open-minded.
Well, I mean, I have a couple thoughts about this. So you say it's made you a more judgmental person. You know, you're looking at your boyfriend and you're like, this guy does not share the same set of beliefs as I do. And, you know, I think there's a difference between using your beliefs as a way of judging your boyfriend or looking down upon him or villainizing him or versus simply just saying, you know, perhaps we share different beliefs and that's okay. And, you know, kind of reconciling with that. So, you know, I agree with you. You know, when you're saying that it's making you more judgmental, I think that it's okay to have certain beliefs that you live by and that you used to see if you're compatible with other people and that you use to kind of bond you together with other people who share similar beliefs, as long as you kind of take the judgment out of it when you encounter people who don't share those beliefs with you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense.
How long have you been in your boyfriend for?
2 years.
2 years. Okay. All right. Yeah, so look, this is one sort of little thing, it seems. Okay. Your boyfriend likes bukkake porn. How's everything else going in the relationship?
He just showed up. It's going well. He's trying to get in my car. It's going well. It's okay. Going really well. Should I let him in my car? Okay.
You're asking me if you should let him in your car.
I don't know if he'll interrupt. I'll let him in.
Okay, great.
I'm on the phone with the gecko. Yeah.
Can I talk to him?
Oh my god. Yeah, you can talk to him. Give me 1 second.
Should I not mention anything we talked about before?
Oh my god, he just left. No, because I told him that I would talk to you about it. I told him.
And how did he react when you told him? You would talk to me about this?
How did he just react?
Yes.
He's shocked. He's blushing, and he's staring at me.
Okay. Is he with you right now?
Yes. He just came in my car. Yes. Don't hang up. Speaker, not on speaker.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Hello? Hey, what's up, man?
Yo, what up?
Whoa, what's your life like?
Chaotic.
Why is it chaotic?
I just feel like I wasn't set up well from the beginning.
Okay.
And learning how to create it yourself just takes time.
What are you
to create what you want?
What are you attempting to create for yourself?
Something more stable.
Okay. Do you feel as though your situation currently is stable at all?
I would not say so, no.
What do you think would make it more stable?
I don't know where to start. You know? Because the way I look at things, it's like a table.
Yeah.
And my focus is shifting to all these different things on the table. But I see all of them at the same time. However, if my focus goes too far into one thing, then I lose sight of everything else.
What is your focus mainly be going into lately?
Mainly bullshit. To be honest.
What kind of bullshit?
It's like a lot of weed.
Okay.
Like video games, which I haven't played in like years. And now I'm just like getting back into it. I don't know. I feel like I know where I'm going, and I have faith in myself, I guess. Like I don't know what else to have faith in.
What is your relationship like with your girlfriend?
It's
up and down.
Up and down, yeah.
It's up and down.
Yeah.
Like
sometimes we're the exact same person, and then sometimes we're two different people.
What do you think you guys differ on?
Probably our motivations.
What motivates you? And what motivates her?
I don't necessarily know what motivates me. It's kind of a feeling. Like I feel like, you know, I'm capable of anything, but, you know, for good. Also, you know, everything has an opposite. But I feel like I can literally do anything I want. But I also hold myself back from that. So what motivates me is a feeling.
What motivates you
is a feeling. Mm-hmm. That I have everything that I want. I don't know. Like, I already have everything that I want, and that's what keeps me going.
what do you believe it is that motivates your girlfriend?
You know, I don't know. Because there's a lot. There's a lot.
Can I talk to her real quick?
Yeah, for sure. Here.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello.
Your boyfriend was telling me that he feels like you guys have two different motivations.
Yeah.
Wow, what do you think your two different motivations are?
I'm not sure. I don't know why he would say that. I feel like we both have similar motivations. Like, we both feel like we can achieve greatness in a sense, and that we both have a deep purpose that we're both trying to find. And that's what motivates us, is that we know that we're important to this world in some way.
Yeah, I don't know if he can. Can he hear me right now if I talk?
Yeah, I can hear you.
What I get from both of you guys is that I can tell both of you, regardless of the actual methods, regardless of the how is not important, but the what, you guys seem to be on the same level of, which is that both of you are interested in improving yourselves, in aspiring higher. Neither of you seem to be very complacent. You're both interested in becoming better people. Would you both agree on that?
For sure. Yeah.
So I think that while I don't know how you guys differ in your approach to becoming better people, or even if you agree on what your definition of being a better person is, you both have that aspiration to become better people. And maybe together you can kind of, both having the same what, both having that same goal of becoming a better person, maybe together you help each other figure out the how of achieving that goal. And that is something that brings you two closer together.
This is making me emotional.
How do you feel about that?
I don't know. You're like the first person who's ever said that. I don't know. I feel like everyone in our lives are like against us being together just because we are different and we do have different ways of doing things. But the way you said that, that was beautiful.
What's your boyfriend's name?
Elijah.
What do you think about that, Elijah?
I don't know what to say right now.
He's speechless.
Yeah, I don't know what to say.
Why do people say that you guys shouldn't be together?
They've always said that.
Why do you think they say that?
I don't know why. Because they're opinionated. Because everyone has their own opinions.
Sure, sure.
I mean, they're entitled to that, but who am I to care about someone else's opinion? Because in the end, like, I'm not going to be with them in the end anyway. So, what's it to me to listen to someone else?
You sound like you disagree with those people.
Yeah, I do. They just never saw what I saw.
Sure. And you know, it's interesting because even though maybe you guys do differ on, like I said, the how, that almost to me is a good thing because it means that you have things to learn from each other. You know, if both of you had the exact same philosophies on how to become a better person, then there would almost be no reason for you two to be in each other's lives because you wouldn't be adding anything. Whereas if you both have different perspectives on this, you're both gaining something from each other toward your common goal. So I actually think...
Yo, you're on another level. I didn't even know that.
No, the Geck is woke as fuck. That's why I listen to him all the time.
Oh my god.
So, how do you guys feel about all of that?
Yeah, I knew what you... I already knew what you had to say.
I knew that calling in would give me some sort of insight. I did kind of call for a weird reason, but the underlying reason was trying to figure out, I guess how to come to terms with his differences. And you answered that question beautifully. And thank you for that.
Of course. Thank you guys for calling. Is there anything that you want to say to each other before we go?
Yes, it's a
thank you. I lost you. What did you say?
I said, I think silence speaks more than words.
Well, thank you guys very much for calling. Is there anything you want to say to the people at the computer before we go?
Just send love to everyone and do your best to try to understand people who are different than you and send them as much compassion and love as you can.
Elijah?
What do you got to say to the people?
Much love and have a blessed day and grace on your journey. Thank you.
Thank you guys for talking to me, Gekko. You guys have a good rest of the night.
You too.
Okay. Well, right. Thoughts. That was an interesting one. That was intense. You could cut that tension with a knife. Couldn't get a great read on Elijah. Elijah was a strong but silent type. But you could... he kind of revealed his passion to us when he was going on his thing about how he doesn't care about other people's opinions about why him and his girlfriend shouldn't be together. And that kind of revealed his thoughts on his relationship, which is that he does think that him and his girlfriend should be together. Let's see. I was talking about they have a common what. They both were interested in self-improvement. Raquel was bringing up all this Buddhist stuff, and, you know, she got into it because she's searching for some kind of higher meaning or higher whatever as a person. And, God, you could tell when I first started talking to Elijah, he wasn't there to bullshit. He wasn't there to play little games with me. He got into it immediately. He got into it immediately. Talking about, fuck, what was he talking about? I just remember he was talking about, you know, ways that he wanted to improve himself. And that was like that. That was these guys' through line. They just disagreed about how to do it. Because she had a little bit of this, I guess you could call it baggage with this whole Buddhist philosophy thing, but she was kind of trying to get away from it. And he was a little bit trapped in himself, and he was trying to get away from that. And, you know, I meant what I said. Hopefully they can kind of help each other become better people. Because that's kind of what being in a relationship is about, right? Not that I have a lot of experience to draw on, but you have other people in your life so that they can show you things that you weren't able to get to yourself. So I think it's a good thing. And I am a gecko on the internet. We did it.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.